around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here today, and we'd like to welcome each of you to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We just trust and we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is abounding exponentially in your life. You know, America, sadly, is in grave trouble. And sadly, people believe that a politician or some type of legislation or some executive order can fix this nation. Let me be very candid today. America and its leadership is corrupt. It is worse than broken. I never fail to be amazed at how quickly they can pass legislation that evolves around money. Nearly a year ago, the Inflation Reduction Act, called the Omnibus. Omnibus is Latin, meaning something for everyone, spent trillions of dollars. And just a few weeks ago, we went through the debacle in raising the debt ceiling and how so quickly they enacted legislation to get it through. Yet when it comes to illegal immigrants, for decades, they have been working on that and have resolved nothing. Folks, America's institutions are broken. I was thinking the other day how cynical it is to get a Pell Grant. That's one of Congress's ways of getting young people in debt through a Pell Grant for their so-called education. Young people borrow as much as $100,000, some more, some less. They borrow that money for what? To supposedly acquire an education. Instead of getting an education, they get indoctrination and they are corrupted. They get a certificate that says they have an education, but they don't get a job that is applicable to the education they got. So they went in debt for $100,000. They got indoctrinated and become corrupt. They cannot use the education that they got, so they go out and get another job. And I thought, how cynical is this becoming? I would say to any young person that is listening to me today by chance, get you a vocation, carpentry, brick mason, plumber, electrician. Find you a job that pays good money. I was speaking to Brother Tom Watkins the other day. We got to talking about everything in the world in general and how AI is replacing tens and hundreds of thousands of jobs. But AI cannot wire a house. AI cannot plumb a house. AI cannot lay bricks. AI cannot build and frame a home. You've got to have people, human beings, that can do these things. Yet, we continue to go down a road of not only profuse transition. Look at our government advocating appropriating electrical vehicles. I don't want one. I will not buy one. But you mark my words. The day will come, in the not too far distant future, the government can mandate everyone drive an electrical car. How could they do that? You have to wear a seatbelt today, don't you? You have to have a driver's license, don't you? All of this is evil. All of this is corrupt. And from my limited perspective, what I see right now, electrical vehicles and things of that nature, AI, et cetera, this is all gearing the world up for the mark of the beast. It'll all be done through electronics. You may not know this. Every time Joe Biden gets a half of an opportunity, he shuts down another coal plant. I saw just the other day where two-thirds of the American states, two-thirds of America here in the United States need to be prepared for brownouts and blackouts, mainly from Tennessee west. Here on the East Coast, we have many nuclear power plants. This is all by an evil design. OPEC said we're going to cut 1 million barrels of oil off of the market some weeks ago. What's that going to do? It's going to drive up the cost of fuel. The red line is $75 per barrel. This is all by corrupt design. People look at the world and they say it's chaotic. In a lot of respects, it is. But it's by design. Order out of chaos. They have an agenda. They have a plan. It was Dr. Henry Speke back in 1947, who was one of the founding fathers of the United Nations, said, we need a man to run the world. We have too many committees. We have too many people making too many decisions. We need one man to rule the world, whether he be sent from God or the devil. We need a man. He's talking about the Antichrist. Think of what I'm saying. Did you know somewhere between 2031 and 2033, Social Security will be no more? I don't say that to alarm you. The spending. And one of the tragic things is there are so many people who will not work and they get a government subsidy. They're well able. They're well bodied. They could do this if they so would, but they won't because they've learned the government will give them a check for nothing and they give nothing in return. What a leech on society. And this stuff continues on day after day, week after week, month after month, so forth and so on. The Bible says plainly, if you do not work, you do not eat. Is that Bible? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any should not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busy bodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Where did Paul get this commandment? Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ. The authority of Christ commands that people work. There was a day when people were too proud to take a handout. If they needed help, they'd say things like, I'll clean your gutters. I'll cut your grass. I'll help you bale hay. I'll help you stack hay. I'll do whatever. Too proud to just to take a handout. Not in America. Oh, no. Millions walk around with EBT cards in their pocket. They make it look fancy now like it's a credit card. It's just welfare and the American citizenry who work weekly, pay their bills, pay their debts, give to that nonsense, not only to Americans, but also to all the illegal immigrants, health care. Even now they're debating whether or not to give illegal immigrants Social Security benefits. Biden has given Ukraine billions of dollars for the pension of the Ukrainians. How do they deserve pension money? This is by design. It is so that they might destroy America. Once a powerful, godly, righteous nation. Not anymore. The Pentagon, the Navy, everything, Marines, Army, fostering, embracing, lauding, extolling, touting sodomy. And then we have last month, Gay Pride Month, a whole month of perversity extolled and lauded and uplifted in this nation. What does the Bible say in Ezekiel 16:49? Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. The first thing that God addressed was pride. Pride. How disgusting. How disgusting. It is a stench in the nostrils of God Almighty. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of that. And you can believe all the heresy and the fallacious teachings you want to about that it was about their hospitality or lack of it, I should say. They were not hospitable. That's why God destroyed them. Are you kidding me? No. They were so perverse. Lot offered up his two daughters, virgin daughters. Said, take my two virgin daughters and do with them as you please. My. How Lot, sadly, had become compromised and willing to offer up his daughters to men of absolute utter lust. Sad, but that same spirit is prevailing in America today. Before we get back into Daniel chapter 12, I want to play a beautiful song today by 11th Hour. It's entitled Bound. So many people today are bound by sin. They're bound by drugs. They're bound by alcohol. They're bound by pornography. But you know what? Paul the Apostle said in Acts 20:22, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bond and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the grace, the gospel of God. Bound by the Holy Ghost. May the Holy Ghost bind every one of us and wrap us up in his divine power. Amen.
when I was lost. Found my grace now that I'm found. Found my sin when I was lost. Found my grace now that I'm found. The walk has now been found. Praise God, I'm heaven bound. Found my sin when I was lost. Found my grace now that I'm found. Found my sin when I was lost. Found my grace now that I'm found.
Pray today that you, my friend, too, are heaven-bound, walking in the fear of the Lord, as Peter said in Acts 9:31, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. My, what a joy to walk in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. We want to go back today to Daniel chapter 12. We want to exegete the closing phrase in verse 2, Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. We want to look at those two entities, those that will be resurrected unto shame and everlasting contempt. When Daniel speaks of those being resurrected to shame and everlasting contempt, he's speaking to the unjust. He's speaking to those who never repented, those who never gave their life to Jesus Christ, those that continue to live a life of sin, whether adultery, fornication, drunkenness, thievery, lying, cheating, whatever the case might be, drugs. Paul is talking to those who died in shame. They died in contempt. And the sad thing is they will remain that way for all eternity. That's why Daniel used the phrase, and everlasting. It lasts forever. Those in the second resurrection will be raised and stand before Christ at the great white throne judgment. After Christ returns to this earth and sets up his kingdom, we will live in a time known as the millennial 1,000-year reign of Christ. Christ will rule and reign from Jerusalem. He will be here on the earth. For that 1,000-year period, you will never hear, see, or witness war. Now, there will be people naturally born during the millennial reign of Christ. They will be born, and they have the opportunity to serve God or not. You see, God gives every man free choice. Now, death will still exist, because the last enemy to be destroyed, according to the Apostle Paul, is the entity called death. Death is real. It has already taken the lives of many people that you know. Because man sinned, and because man sinned, he became subject to death. But Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, and 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. It will be at the close of the great white throne judgment, which, as I said, the great white throne judgment follows the conclusion of the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Now, I know there are those out there who say there is no such thing as a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Anyone that teaches that, anyone that believes that, listen to me carefully, listen to me closely, they are a heretic. They do not know the Word of God. Six times in Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7, all speak of a 1,000-year period. Let me read that quickly. I want you to understand, when you hear these buffoons, they're known theologically as preterists. They believe all this has done been fulfilled. That is utter asininity to believe something of that nature when the Word of God says something separate. I'm going to read Revelation 20, beginning at verse 2, all the way through verse 7. Listen to how many times John the Revelator used the phrase 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 2, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So there we have it. Six consecutive times, six consecutive verses. Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, all speak of a period known as 1,000 years. Now, some of these people are going to tell you they're believers, they're Christians, but they're taking away from the validity, the veracity, the authenticity of God's Word, and God's going to take their names out of the book of life because they took away from the Word of God. You can't add to the Scriptures, and you can't take away from the Scriptures. Yet, obviously, some people feel well qualified to do such things in this hour. What a absolute tragedy. What a tragedy. Revelation 22:18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So you can't add and you can't take away. Yet, the Scriptures are clear. The Scriptures are absolutely clear in that there's 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Again, at the close of that 1,000-year period, heaven and earth will somehow pass away through a divine holocaust, a divine cremation. The earth as we know it will be utterly, totally destroyed and consumed. You'll find that clearly in 2 Peter chapter 3. I do have a teaching on the Great White Throne Judgment. And I talk about all of these things, and I'm not going to get into that today because it would be too distracting, and it's not pertinent to what I'm talking about here and teaching here on Daniel chapter 12. It will be the unjust that will die a second death. They will spend all eternity in the lake of fire. The unjust that are raised and the second resurrection will be filled with fear, trepidation, consternation, and anxiety because they will be overcome and swallowed up by the second death. Now remember Revelation 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. You don't have to worry at all. If you're redeemed, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins are under the blood of the Lamb, you have nothing to fear when it talks or speaks of the second death. That is applicable only to the unjust, the wicked, the unrighteous dead. That will be raised. They have to be raised to stand in the court of God. Jesus said in John 5, 28, 29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Think of that. Raised, resurrected for the express purpose of being damned and dying a second time and being cast into the lake of fire, and there they will spend all eternity. Again, there is 1,000 years between the first resurrection and the second resurrection, and these will proceed in divine order following the second advent of Christ. It will be at the second advent of Christ when the dead in Christ will experience the first resurrection. I shared all that last week from the Apostle Paul, from the other scriptures in the book of Acts, the just, the unjust. The scriptures are clear. The scriptures are replete. There are two resurrections. Now, again, following the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ, heaven and earth are going to pass away. Jesus gave us that prophecy. And Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Let's go quickly. I think that's imperative that I do this. Let's go quickly to Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So Peter tells us the heavens and the earth are going to melt with a fervent heat. Remember, God told Noah he would not destroy the earth again by water, so this time he's going to destroy it by fire. He will purge everything as we presently know it. So here in Revelation 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne. Why is it white? Because white symbolizes utter, total, absolute righteousness. I mean, it is so righteous, it begs description. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. No one can hide from God. And I saw the dead. Now, this is the wicked dead. I saw the wicked dead, small and great. Whether they were small or great, they're still wicked, stand before God. And the books were opened. That is the books of records. Those books are where God has recorded the deeds and the records of everyone, even you and I, the redeemed. We'll stand at the Bema seat, We'll only be judged for our righteous works. This is not a judgment of sin. The believer will stand at the Bema seat, but that is a righteous judgment relative to receiving rewards according to how we served our Lord on this side of eternity. Those here in Revelation 20 that stand before God, all of them are wicked. All of their wicked deeds are recorded, and God will reveal those deeds to those people as they stand before him at the great white throne judgment. So here in verse 12, Revelation 20 and verse 12, John said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life." We've already addressed that some programs back. "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Don't ever think, sinner or saint, we all will be judged according to our works. Number one, works do not save you. Works are a sign, an indication that you are saved. Even the wicked have works, but they're evil. They are unrighteous. They are vile. They are wicked. But God has written all of their works in the books accordingly. Verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." So if you were buried at sea, died at sea, whatever the case might be, those remains will be rendered back unto God Almighty. "And death and hell," see, those are entities. Those are entities. Death is an entity. Hell is an entity. "They must also deliver up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works." No one will escape their works, sinner or saint. We all will be judged accordingly to our works. So the dead, we're going to be judged, every man according to their works. Again, this is the wicked dead. This is not the righteous dead. If you are washed in the blood of the Lamb, you will not be found at the great white throne judgment. You're going to have already spent 1,000 years in the millennial reign with Christ. Verse 14, Revelation 20, 14, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, I know there are some that teach, I've heard it, I've seen it, I've witnessed it, there's a second opportunity here at the great white throne judgment. There is no opportunity given to anyone to be saved. We have no record of anyone being saved. They are all cast into the lake of fire, along with death and hell, because they too are entities. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. They'll be found, or they will not be found, in the book of life. Thus, God will have no recourse but to cast them into the lake of fire. Hell. So let me just say this today. The lake of fire, I would say, from my minuscule comprehension, the lake of fire is immeasurable, because the lake of fire is going to also entomb death, hell, and all the wicked dead from Cain even all the way to the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. There'll be those who will die during the millennial. They'll be lost. They won't have Christ in their life. Some say, well, how do you know that? If you read the Bible makes it clear. When Satan is released out of the bottomless pit, he's been there, he's been sealed, he's been chained for 1,000 years. God is going to release him. He's going to allow Satan to come up on the breadth of the earth. He'll have an opportunity to tempt everyone who will submit to him. How do we know that? Because of the scriptures. Let me read it. Revelation 20, verses 7 through 10. "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations. Nations. That's all over the world, which are in the four quarters of the earth. He goes all over the entirety of the earth. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. It'll be a lot of people. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. We know that's Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then we go into the millennial, and we go into the great white throne judgment. Those people that were just consumed by the fire of God that comes down out of heaven and devours them will go straight to the great white throne judgment. There they will be judged, and their names will not be in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they will be cast into the lake of fire along with death and hell. Remember, I shared that just a few minutes ago. The last enemy, 1 Corinthians 15 and 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So you see here in Revelation 20 and verse 14, that will be when death and hell will exist no more. They'll be cast into the lake of fire and be there for all eternity. That's a long time. It's a long time. It is time without end. It is time and perpetuity. It will not cease for them. After 10,000 years, they'll still be burning, because this is a spiritual application. Again, there are those, sadly, who mislead people and teach there's a second opportunity at the great white throne judgment to give one's life to Christ. That is not in the scriptures. We don't read that. We don't see that. We don't see anyone. It is a time of nothing but judgment. Judgment on all the wicked dead. Daniel says, they are called those raised to shame and everlasting contempt. They will remain in shame and everlasting contempt for all eternity. Amen. Now let's look at verse 3. Daniel 12 and verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That's who you want to be. The wise here speaks of those who are doing the work of Christ, trying to appropriate, advocate, preach, proclaim, declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what I try to do every week in some capacity. You and I, our liability, our responsibility is to seek to further the kingdom of God until the second advent of Christ. I'm asking the Lord for the next 10 years. I'm 68 years of age till I'm 78. Allow those last 10 years, the last decade, that I can have great strength, mental acuity, whatever the case might be, to continue to preach God's word without compromise. Every one of us should desire to win souls. Some of you listening to me today, you're the only light that some people is ever going to see. They'll not tune into me. They'll never see me. They'll never hear me. I'm just one man, and I'm limited in every sense of the word. But many of you, scores of you, hundreds, thousands listening, God wants to use you to win the lost. Don't ever be ashamed to be a witness for Jesus. Don't ever compromise your convictions. I don't care what the modern church says, what the modern church does. Don't you ever compromise what you know is right and holy and just and pure. Do not compromise on your convictions. Sadly, some don't even have convictions. Nope. They just live any way they want to live and they do as they want to do. You'll not win people living that kind of a life. It is our responsibility. It is the responsibility of the church to win as many souls as possible and turn the wicked to righteousness. People wonder why I preach like I preach. Number one, I did not call myself to preach. God called me. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I am what I am by the grace of God. I will not play with God's word. I will not toy. I will not use trickery, chicanery. I believe in being pure in heart and having clean hands. And that's how we should live our lives every day. God wants you to touch people's lives. And you must maintain your integrity, your character. You can't tell a part truth or tell a little lie and think you're going to influence people's lives. Sometimes telling the truth, you may think it's hurting you. You may think it's harming you. Hey, tell the truth no matter what. Liars have a place in hell. Revelation 21, verse 8, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. It makes you wonder how anybody in Washington could be saved. Oh, you hear they talk about salvation. Nancy Pelosi said, I pray for Donald Trump every day. Yeah, right. Yep, when you set your liquor down, you had a word of prayer, didn't you? My. Solomon said in Proverbs 11, verse 30, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I've read that verse, quoted that verse, used that verse many, many times. But the other day when I was reading this and studying, preparing for this teaching, I saw there something I had not seen or the significance of it. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. On the way to the cross, Jesus said, if they will do this to a green tree, what will they do in the dry? You see, Jesus was very, very fruitful as a man. Exceeding fruitful. And what did they do to him? What did they do to him? They crucified him. They crucified him. Jesus said these words on the way to the cross in Luke 23, 31. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? A tree of life is not dry. A tree of life is green in the natural. But this is a symbolic of a spiritual tree that Solomon is addressing. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. When you seek to live a godly Christian life, your life is a tree of life. Why? Because you're in Christ and Christ is in you and you are bearing fruit that is profitable for the kingdom of God. John 15:5, Jesus said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If you're attached to Christ, you are a tree of life. You are not the tree of life, but you are a tree of life. We live out in the country. Many times it's just nice to walk up to a good old pear tree and get a pear, and man, you bite into that thing, and it is so sweet, so succulent, so crisp. Pick up an apple the same way. That is a tree that has life in it. Solomon says the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. You see, we all bear fruit. Some fruit is not edible. I want to bear fruit that is edible. So what we're trying to accomplish in our lives, in our parenthetical time that we have here on the earth, what we're seeking to do with our lives, we're seeking to turn sinners to Christ so they can partake of the literal, physical tree of life. Not a tree of life, but the tree of life. I want you to get that. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. Revelation 2:7. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So you and I can become a tree of life, but not the tree of life. Now, if we live righteous and we win souls to the kingdom of God and we enter into the eternal kingdom of the Most High God, we will forever have express privilege to the tree of life. The tree of life, John said, is for the healing of the nations. Now, we don't know a lot about eternity and that how things will be once the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ has ended. Then we have the great white throne judgment. Then we enter into eternity. I suspect the earth as we know it will be as it is now, but it will not have any sin, no germs, no refuse, no garbage. There'll be no opportunity for that to ever happen again because God will have done away with the old earth. He will have purged it in its entirety. All the wicked, sinners, backsliders will be in the lake of fire. Satan will be in the lake of fire. Death and hell will be in the lake of fire. There'll be nothing there to create a scenario where anything could ever remotely be evil. It will not exist in eternity. As I said, we don't have a lot of scripture that shows us the magnitude, the gravity of eternity, but it will come. Then when we go into eternity, time will truly be no more. It will not exist. Revelation 2:7, let me share that again. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The word paradise here in the Greek speaks of a place of future happiness. When we enter into Christ and we live right until he either returns or we go by the way of the grave, you are assured paradise, absolute, total happiness, no toil, no pain, no suffering, no sorrow, no death. Your mind will not even work like it works today. You will be incapable of having vain, worthless thoughts. Think of that. You'll not have a perverted thought, a distorted thought, a covetous thought, a lustful thought. That will not exist because you will have been glorified in your body. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Let me say this. I was a young boy, my grandparents raising me, and my grandma was often perplexed. And she said, how can heaven be heaven if you know that you have a lost son or daughter that went to hell? Of course, I was by no means qualified to answer her. But that perplexed her. But what she didn't understand was God is going to remove that element from your humanity. Of course, you'll be in a glorified body. You'll have flesh and bone structure just like you have now. No blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So your body will be a glorified body. There'll be no sickness cannot permeate your body. You'll have no arthritis in your knees, your hands, your shoulder. None of this will exist. It will be a moot point. But the magnificence, and when I say things like that, I hope you understand, I'm not being unbecoming or demeaning or belittling God and his deity. But in the magnificence of his godliness, how he's going to remove from our minds things that would grieve us, hurt us, harm us, injure us, sadden us, he's going to take that away. So in the event we have a lost loved one who doesn't make it, who doesn't repent, who doesn't turn to the Lord and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God will not suffer you to know that, because heaven, eternal life, would not be eternal in happiness. There would always be sadness. There would always be sorrow. There would always be hurt. There would always be pain. When Joab told David he had killed Absalom, David's response was, Absalom, Absalom, O my son, I would have died for thee. He loved that son, flesh and blood. And David was grieved from the sadness and the sorrow of the news. But David won't know anything about that and the resurrection. Why? Because life would be full of void and vacuity and emptiness in all of us. We would have emptiness. And that's not the kind of God that we serve. Now, I know what the Bible says. The former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. How God does all these things, I cannot explain. I just believe what the Word says. I believe what the Bible says. And I believe we'll be happy. Why? The next verse, Isaiah 65 and 18, But be ye glad and rejoice forever, and that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. That won't exist. As I said a moment ago, heaven would not be heaven. Heaven would not be heaven. Happiness could never be fulfilled. But God in his divine sovereignty will take care of all of that. Revelation 21:4. I'm going to close. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. God says, I'm going to make absolutely everything new. Friend, nobody but God can do that. And we have an assurance. I think many times we lessen, we mitigate the power of the Word of Almighty God. God is going to make all things new. That's powerful to me, to know that in the end, God is going to make everything new. What's your job? What's your goal? Stay faithful. Remain steadfast in the Lord God of Abraham. Don't vary. Don't oscillate. Don't turn. Stay faithful. Stay faithful in spite of all the things you may see, in spite of all the things you may hear. I cannot emphasize enough for you to pray and seek the Lord. Our nation is gone. Without God, there'll be no coming back. God must be foremost in a nation to prosper. A nation consists, a nation is made up of people. And Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. Please pray. Please pray. I can see them arresting Donald Trump, putting him in jail. And I can see them stealing an election because tyranny rules in America. This is a corrupt nation and people. You and I would shudder if we truly knew the depth of the filth and sin and the degradation of the leaders of this nation. You and I would be utterly shocked if we really knew just how bad it really is. God bless you. Have a wonderful and a great evening. I'll see you tomorrow. Do please seek the face of God in this hour.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.